You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
We are in our conversation where we're speaking about all things the second coming of Jesus Christ. Be like me and Pastor Munga, be on your feet as we speak about this one. So today, we are going to be speaking about very, very interesting words here. Perousia is a Greek term used in the New Testament to refer to the coming or presence of Jesus, typically used in reference to his second coming and the events that will accompany it. The term itself implies a spiritual coming, God being with those who believe, with the realm which will last for all eternity, since it shapes people's demoral energies, souls outwardly. And today we are discussing the signs and parousia. I'm praying I'm saying it correctly. My mfundisi, how are you?
I'm excited at all. How are you?
Pastor Munga is laughing at
me. Me, I'm struggling, not with parousia, but with that song, mfundisi. It was saying Mosindi Sian Globa, that click sound there. That's
yes.
What I was struggling with. Somebody is struggling with parousia.
You see, you are struggling with Zulu. Me, it's this English word.
No. Greek is 10 times easier than Zulu.
Yo, Mfundisi. No, so that song is saying Mfundiswami Sian Globa, like we are conquerors in Jesus Christ. Simple.
Ah,
simple.
Sian Globa.
Yes, Mfundiswami. Yes, Mfundis. You're speaking about the signs and, parousia. Can you please pray that the Holy Spirit, guides us so we pronounce it correctly and that the conversation, goes according to His will.
Thank you. Shall we pray? Our Lord and our Savior, we come before your throne again, knowing that you are the creator of heaven and earth. We cannot quantify, we can't measure your love, we can't measure anything about you. And by grace through faith, you have allowed us sinners saved by grace through faith to talk about your goodness today, especially the second coming. What a privilege, what a joy is ours this morning. We also thank you for that you have sent your Holy Spirit to guide us so that our listeners will get you speaking to their hearts and prepare to receive you when you come the second time. Be with your maid servant, Sanere, and be with me also, and be with everyone who will listen even after this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, ever since me, I was young, and I started to know about Jesus.
You are still young, I think.
Okay, Mfundisi, let our listeners, they want to beat me and you. Let's be serious now. So since I was young, Mfundisi, Jesus has been coming, and we have been told from back then that, look out for this, look out for that, look out for this, But what are some of the common signs, Mfundisi, and events that are believed to be precursors to the second coming? Even COVID-19, apparently it's a precursor that is coming. So I don't know, Mfundisi, if you can enlighten us there.
Thank you. In Matthew chapter 24, we have got a wonderful catalogue there, where in verse 3, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And so from Matthew chapter 24, we have got a lot of signs. Then apart from Matthew chapter 24, we have got like 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, which talks about scoffers in the last days. Mm-hmm. In other words, as signs, people scoff the word of God. I heard of one man in one of parts of our country who was a smoker, and he was using the Bible as his paper for smoke. You know that tobacco from the village.
Mm-hmm.
So he would tear one page from the Bible until the whole Bible finished, using it for smoking.
Mm.
We have got also signs like war. The Bible talks about wars. There will be wars, rumors of war. Talk about famine. Mm. As you had your breakfast, How many people are going without food every day? How many people are dying? The number is increasing every day. Talk about pestilences or diseases. They are just on the increase. Talk about earthquakes. The Bible also talks about knowledge. Mm. Knowledge shall increase. The knowledge here, we are not only talking about the technology, satellite, but also the knowledge of the word of God itself.
Mm.
Perilous times. Talk about the crime rates.
Yes.
Hey.
You have got a story to tell there.
Mm.
I have got a story to tell here. Mm. It has it's the new normal.
Mm.
You talk about violence. How many women are being abused in homes every day? Children being abused. Talk about robbery.
Yeah.
It's just on the increase. Talk about rape. Talk about drugs. The list is long. You talk about pollution. Mm. All these are mentioned in the Bible. Fear. Today we are afraid of everything. There is nowhere in the world where you can say, I am safe here. Mm. Like someone said, the whole earth, 3/4 of the earth is filled with water. And the quarter that has got no water has got war.
Yeah.
So wherever you don't find water on earth, there's war. And this is just found everywhere. You are afraid everywhere. You talk about terrorism. Talk about kidnappings, hijackings. How many times do we have, like those girls we never heard about again in Nigeria, school girls, these hijacker terrorists, they just go get all the girls from the school. No one knows where they went up to now.
Yes.
So all those things are telling us one thing, that is the second coming of Christ is near. There's also the sign of perplexed. The Greek word that is used there in Luke chapter 21, 25, and 26 is aporia, which means no exit, no way out. It's an incurable crisis that has come upon us. It's a point of no return. So these are some of the signs that the Bible gives us for us to know that this is the second coming of Christ is near. At the same time, I must also be quick to mention also to our listeners that these signs, just like road signs, you only see the signs when you are on the road.
Hey, true.
Not when you are outside the road.
Mm.
So these signs to other people, they mean nothing.
Mm.
They are normal. But to someone who is on the road, someone who is eagerly waiting for the second coming of Christ, like you and I, you will see that these are signs of his coming as they were mentioned by him.
And as you were mentioning there, you know, some of these signs, they are not only happening in one area. They're happening everywhere. When you mentioned the issue of crime, you have it there. I have it there. Our listeners in Zim have it. Our listeners everywhere. So these are some of the things that they are not happening in seclusion, but everyone can see that indeed, you know, these are some of the things that are showing us that he is indeed coming. So within the context of Christian theology, Pastor, what is the significance of the term parousia?
The significance of this term in the first place is that the second coming of Christ is real. It is not fiction. It is sure and certain. If you go in a library, a physical library, that is, the larger section of any library is fiction. Stories that are not true. But when you come to the second time, the coming of Christ, it is true. And each and every second of time is drawing us closer to that. So this means everything in your life, everything in my life, should say one thing, that I'm waiting for a great event. My lifestyle, your lifestyle, and our listeners must be tailored to align with our belief.
Yes.
So it's one thing to go to church on the Sabbath. It's one thing to go to church on the Sunday. It's another thing to live what you believe in. In other words, what you eat, what you dress, what you say, the people you associate with, they must speak one language. So you cannot say one thing and your dress is saying something else. You cannot say one thing and your table, your food is saying something else. No, everything must come into alignment. Look at the disciples in the first in the early church. Like when you go to Acts chapter 17, verse 6, the Bible tells us that wherever they went, the people says those people who have turned the world upside down have come here or have come here also. If I may pose a question to you, my sister and the listeners, have you turned the world upside down?
No.
When you arrive at the place, they said, this lady has come here also. Mm. They were disruptive. The way they lived was disruptive.
Mm.
And the way a genuine Christian lives is disruptive.
Mm.
Because your food will change. Your dress will change. Your hair will change. Your language will change. The people you keep company with will change.
Mm.
And the other people around you will not. You won't have to announce that I'm a Christian, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. No, no, no. People will not. That this lady is a Christian. And not only a Christian, but she's a Seventh-day Adventist. You talk about Joseph in Genesis chapter 39. He is a slave who arrives in Egypt. He's sold again. He's in Potiphar's home. The Bible says that the Lord was with him. The next sentence is that Potiphar, a heathen, a pagan, noticed that the Lord is with this young man. Not the gods of Egypt, but the God of heaven and earth. Others around noticed that God is with Joseph. Do people notice that God is with you? And we are talking about pagans here, people who don't be smokers. If a smoker looked at you, a heavy drinker looked at you, can they say, this lady, the Lord is with her? So when we are talking about the second coming of Christ, it should tell. It's more than preaching.
Yeah.
It should tell.
Yeah.
In our individual lives that these people are waiting for an event and this event is near. Just like we talked about meetings. If the president of South Africa is visiting you at Adventist World Radio, you dress differently. You will change a lot of things there.
That is true.
And whoever passes by there will know that these people are waiting for something.
Yes.
This is not a normal day. And this is how we are supposed to live. As people who are waiting for the second coming of Christ. Like I mentioned yesterday, I'm too excited about this. I'm standing actually facing the east. In case my master comes when we are got this, I can receive it.
Okay. So, Pastor, as Christians, we have started to interpret things that are happening, like world events, as you see. That is one of the precursors. You see, that is one of the signs. But sometimes we miss it. We miss it. You know, I remember last year sometime we had an earthquake here in South Africa. It was not that bad. It was shocking though, because we've never felt something. It was not a tremor. It was just a proper earthquake, you know. And immediately the following morning, people were like, here the Christians have started. And even in fact, someone said, the Adventists are going to come now. They're going to come say, you know, Jesus is coming, you know. And so we are having these things. We are having the natural disasters. We are having the natural phenomenons happening there. We also politically, we can see that things are not making sure. The wars in Israel, the wars in Ukraine and Russia. There are a lot of things in Fundiswami. So should we be looking at all of these things and saying, these are one of the signs, or it's just normal things that are happening, like they're bound to happen anyway without when Jesus coming through? Or we ought to say, if it starts snowing now in Zambia, you're like, ha, he is coming. You see, we've never had snow before. Is that some of the things that we should be looking at and interpret as the signs?
Of course, for sure, things like if we talk about the earthquake that was in your country, when you were South Africa, when did you have an earthquake in your history? You may find that you never had one. So for sure, I should arouse another person that, no. But this should be pointing to something. We've never had an earthquake, and then an earthquake is mentioned in the Bible. People will be there who always scoff this. These people. And we have what geographers and scientists who explain it away, that this is just a normal thing. But we are talking about the occurrence of these things, these strange things. They are telling us one thing in the political world, in the economic world. They are telling us one thing, that things are not going to be better. They are getting worse.
Yeah.
From the political world, from the science world, the promises are that we will get better.
Mm.
But the reality on the ground is saying things will never get better. Actually, they are getting worse.
Yes.
The more we claim to know, the more things are just going somewhere else.
Mm.
We talk about, like we talked about the issue of diseases. Today we have got technology that can assess this. Just look at you, just stand, the machine will tell you that you have got TB. TB actually has reached this stage, has reached this stage. But that's when you have got more cases about the same. Talk about developing medicines and everything, all technology is there. But is this, has this technology helped us? Has it made us better? If you talk about the technology we have today, has it made life better? Can you say today that you are happier because you have got a cell phone, you have got a laptop, than someone who lived in 1970? The answer is no.
Yeah. Ne? Hey, Pastor, so we have the likes of Zanele. Just making an example. Whom I'll be sitting there, Pundiswam, as you saying that, you know, even the experts and the, all of those people, they're saying it's gonna get worse and so forth and so on. And then here I'm sitting, Pundis, there's an earthquake, and I was like, ha, see, me individually, I am prophesying Jesus is coming now, you know. And then we interpret individually. So looking at, oh, the Bible said there's gonna be locusts. Then I see a video saying there were locusts in Brazil. And then because of what the Bible has said, can I now individually prophesy these events or affirm the prophecies of Jesus coming using what I have read in the Bible? Or I must just relax, ne? I must just relax.
Thank you very much. In the first place, like you have rightly said, these signs will not all happen in one place.
Mm-hmm.
Like we will have an earthquake here, you have got this there, but they are all meant for one thing. Just like I come from a farming community. You see the trees, they start changing at the end of the year, like in October, November, signs that it is about to start raining.
Yeah.
Now that these signs are given to me, a farmer, what should I do? I should prepare.
Yes.
I can choose to look at the trees, that is for sure it is about to rain, the clouds are there showing. But these are serving as a signal, as a warning to me, as a farmer, are you ready? Is your seed there? Is your land plowed? Do you have the fertilizer? Do you have what everything is? Do you have got all the inputs in place? So when these signs are happening, they are there to arouse us as Christians. Are our lives in order? We can be excited, yes, all these signs are pointing to the second coming of Christ. But are our lives in order? Are you ready for the second coming of Christ now? Not tomorrow, but now. So those signs are there to arouse me and also to tell someone around me that no. Yes, to you are saying this is development, but this is a sign. For example, when I was doing my studies in the Federal Republic of Germany in 2002, that's when they implemented the single currency there, and the no border police. You are in Germany there. You go to another country. You are just told, no, this treaty have crossed. You are now in Netherlands. You don't have to change money. You don't have to change anything around you. Economically speaking, I'm a consultant in business. It makes life easy that you don't have to change money. You are just arriving in another country. You no need for a passport. Once you arrive in France, you can go to any country in the European Union. No one asks you about passport.
Yeah.
Economically speaking, that is a step forward. But it is pointing to me as a Christian that there is something that is coming. This unity, having one this, you don't have this border, you don't have this border. It points to me that the big picture here is this. All these events are leading to this. And that's something with the signs.
Goodness, you know, you asked a question that, are we ready? We can see the signs and everything else, but personally. So what is it that we ought to do? You know, whilst we are waiting, whilst we are seeing these signs, are we just supposed to wait, you know, play with our fingers? Or there is something that we ought to be doing?
Exactly. If you're at a station or even at an airport. I've been privileged to have stayed in about 9 countries or so. When you are at an airport or at a station, and you are waiting for, I remember the longest time I waited for an airplane. I think it was in South Africa in 2006. I was coming from Malawi for a conference. So we are there. We arrived in the morning and we had to wait for the next flight. That was late in the afternoon.
Mm.
Then I looked at all this. But to me, that time looked like very short because I got a study guide, started going through the lessons, doing this. The person who was next to me, I share about this. So when you keep yourself busy, you don't even see how time flies.
Mm.
But when you choose to just yawn, you sit, you look at this, time seems to be quite long.
Mm.
So the best that you and I can do is people who are waiting for the second coming of Christ, I recommend four things.
Mm.
The first one is Bible study.
Okay.
To study your Bible. Not reading the Bible, but studying the Bible.
Mm.
I don't borrow a book from someone, because if I borrow a Bible, I borrow your book or anything, it will come very dead because I write notes there.
Mm.
When I'm studying the Bible, if I'm studying the New Jerusalem, I study with a calculator.
Yeah.
Those dimensions that are put there, I measure them.
Mm.
I write them. I convert them. So the New Jerusalem from this place to this place, by the way, when you look at those measures, it's 2,400 kilometers. Square, one side.
Mm.
So I study. If the New Jerusalem is this, so it can accommodate this, it can accommodate this. So it's very important for us to study the Bible.
Mm.
Let it speak to you with reflection,
yeah.
Journaling, writing down. If Christ was in a storm with the disciples and he stood up and said, "Peace, be still," what is this speaking to me today in my situation?
Yeah.
And when we study the Bible, it will lead us, obviously, one thing, to prayer.
Mm.
Talking to God as to a friend.
Yes.
I'm not talking about those fake prayers that we give before we eat. No. You actually just tell a child or anyone nearby just to say that prayer. Not that you really mean that this food, another person hasn't got it. But prayer that is coming from inside you, from your heart, and it's the heart of God. We need that. And then we need fellowship, coming together. Every Sabbath, I'm reminded that I belong to a big family. Apart from the people that I congregate with here in Lusaka, I know there are people in South Africa, there are people in Brazil, in India, in Asia. There is a big family.
Hmm.
And one day, we'll not meet virtually, but we'll meet physically, and we'll never part.
Hmm.
So fellowship is very important. You may be discouraged in a corner. At times, the temptation is that, let me just stay home. No, go and meet someone there. And then you can be revived someone, you can also be revived. So Bible study is very important. Prayer is very important. Fellowship is very important. And all these things must lead us to witness, to talk about this Jesus Christ.
Mm. Mpundis.
Who is a friend? Yes, please. Thank you.
What is a fake prayer, Pastor?
Pardon?
What is a fake prayer?
That prayer you offer before you eat is fake.
I'm foodies.
Why do I say it is fake? Because a prayer that is just from the mouth, Lord, we thank you for this food. You are not even in the thanking, but it's a tradition that covers you before you eat. There are certain times when I have forgotten to pray. As I have got the food in my hand, I almost put it in my eye, I realize I've not prayed. Or maybe I've taken two lambs. I don't know what you call the Saza, the Shima. I didn't pray. And then, I don't know. Maybe I don't know. It's only me who has found myself. I know you are a very serious and spiritual lady. You have never found yourself in such a situation.
Sometimes you remember after swallowing.
And then you offer a quick one to cover up. That is not the prayer we are talking about. We are talking up. I was in a certain prayer session somewhere. We were praying for this family. Their child was sick, and we knelt down and we prayed. Just immediately, we said, "Amen." The nephew who was next to me, who was kneeling down with us, he said, "Uncle, why is it that when we are praying, each time we are praying, we find ourselves in heaven?"
Mm.
I told my nephew, "There is no other way. There is no other way. If you are praying, you are talking to God. That is serious business. That's where you find yourself. Prayer does not bring God down, but it takes us an entry to heaven. When you are praying, when we are before the throne of God who is ruling the whole universe. Mm. We are before the greatest. We are before the might. So even when someone tells me to pray, you say, no. Pastor, pray for me. I ask you, are you serious? Do you know what prayer is?
Mm.
It's like throwing someone in the fire. Are you going to come back the same? You can't.
Mm.
So prayer is a serious business.
Mm. Mm.
And prayer is meant to change you. It's meant to change me, not to change God. You cannot be a prayerful person and remain the same. No.
Yeah.
Unless you are praying to another Jesus, not the Jesus of the Bible.
Mm. Mm. Hi, we have ended it on a very high note in Fundiswami. I think the next time me and you, not this week, then the other time me and you we speak, we need to speak about prayer. Because, wow, you've stirred something in me and I'm like, I need to interrogate this one. But for today, Fundiswami, we have learned about Perugia. So I'm going to ask that, can you please pray that, you know, we take it serious. We take it serious, Mpundiswami, all that we have learned and it's engraved that indeed he is coming back. Let us look out for the signs and wait the right way.
Sure. Shall we pray? Our Lord and our Savior, we are thankful that as your children, we sat at your feet. To talk about the second coming, how we are supposed to be ready. The signs that are everywhere telling us that you are about to come. How we pray that our lives will align with our belief, will align with a blessed hope. May the people who see us the way Joseph was seen by Potiphar, that the Lord was with him. May the people who see my sister Zanere confess from their hearts, tell others that this lady, this is a child of God, a sinner who has been saved by grace through faith. May whatever she touch prosper. We also pray for our listeners. Bless them abundantly with the realization that each and every second we are drawing nearer and nearer to your promises, and that we should be more excited because you are about to come. We don't forget the men and women who are working at the Adventist World Radio. As they do whatever they do, whatever part they play, bless them abundantly. Even as we pray for a church globally that is working to hasten your second coming by spreading the good news. Thank you for another opportunity to sit at your feet. Thank you for another opportunity to be used by you to do your work. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mpundis, thank you so much for coming through. May you have yourself a blessed day.
You're most welcome. Same to you and our listeners.
Amen.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.